And welcome in. Happy Friday to you here on the Doug Russell Podcast. We got a good show for you today. Longtime Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren will join us to talk some Packers football in just a few minutes. Definitely looking forward to that. We'll also have some fun with an icon who left us this past week. And speaking of icons that have left us, late breaking news as I record this on Friday, really before we get going, heartfelt condolences to the friends and family of Packers legend Paul Hornung. Hornung passed away this morning at age 84. There aren't many from that era left. Herb Adderley died just a couple of weeks ago, but Paul Hornung, the golden boy, he was a Heisman Trophy winner as a quarterback at Notre Dame, made the transition to running back in the NFL, won two NFL MVP awards. So, man, the news from 2020 just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But certainly heartfelt condolences to the friends and family of Packers legend Paul Hornung, passing away at the age of 84. Here's how to get in touch with us. Twitter and Instagram, very simple, at Doug Russell Pod. You can also find me on Twitter, just very simply, at Doug Russell. Facebook and YouTube, search for the Doug Russell Podcast. You can always email us at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. We start with the return of college football, or at least the return of the Wisconsin Badgers. They've been off for the last couple of weeks because of the COVID outbreak in the program. The first COVID shoe to drop after his record-setting debut against Illinois was freshman quarterback Graham Mertz. The big question to Coach Paul Christ is, will he play?
Each day you feel a little bit better when they are able to do some, and then kind of go back through the kind of the checklist or the protocols, and it's in line with that. So, you know, continue to be hopeful of it.
In other words, we'll let you know. Meanwhile, the forgotten man on the Badgers quarterback depth chart is last year's starter, Jack Cohn. He broke his foot in training camp, and for many, it was out of sight, out of mind. Of course, that wasn't the case for the coaching staff.
How does what he did today affect tomorrow, right? And it's kind of how is the body responding to it? But he's been able to do more, and this is kind of in the rehab training room world than anything. But, you know, hopefully sooner than later, we get it to where he can start doing some field work. It has been probably for a little bit where you can see the energy in him because he's able to do more, and it's not just that he's out of a boot or he's, you know, now I can walk.
The double bye week certainly wasn't planned, like just about everything else in 2020. Still, the guys were as productive as they could be.
Some of the veterans probably, it's a little bit easier, or they got a better understanding of it. You know, some that were, everyone was able to do different amounts of things during the shutdown, right? So it's kind of where they were at. But I've really appreciated the way the guys have approached the week. You know, one was getting back into playing football, the things that go in line with that. And then the other number one objective was preparing to play against a really good Michigan team. You know, so you had the preparation part of it that we had to do. And so I thought those were the two big things that we had to accomplish this week. And I think that they had a great purpose to it.
Still, as offensive coordinator Joe Rudolph notes, this has been a test of the Badgers' resolve.
They're excited now that they've taken steps and measures to try to get us back. And they're bought into those, and they're bought into the opportunity we have to play this week. So I really like their mental position, where they're at. I really like, the way guys have approached it. And, there's a resiliency to them that'll be challenged, but I do like where they're at.
And as wide receiver Kendrick Pryor notes, there's no more wiggle room in the schedule if the Badgers have plans to make it back to the Big Ten championship game, even as he knows that it's first things first.
We still have a chance to accomplish everything that we want to, like with the Big Ten championship. And we already know kind of going in that if we miss one more game that we won't be able to go to the Big Ten. But like we're not trying to look too far down that road because we just missed two games. So we're not trying to look too far ahead. Like we've only played one game.
Game number two coming up Saturday night at Michigan. It's a 6:30 kickoff on national television on ABC. One big game in the conference this week canceled. Number 3, Ohio State. They were supposed to play at Maryland, but an outbreak on the Terrapins campus has caused that cancellation. That game, of course, will not be made up. A couple of games that will, at least as of taping, still go on, unless there is some sort of COVID outbreak somewhere. Number 23, Northwestern, they are at Purdue. That's a 4 o'clock kickoff. And then an 11 a.m. kickoff. I still smile when I see it. I kind of giggle when I see it, but it's 2020 in a nutshell. Number 10, Indiana at Michigan State. Yes, in 2020, the Indiana Hoosiers are a top 10 team in college football. to the NFL. The Packers are back at it after the mini bye, their last game, their win at San Francisco on November 5th. This week, it's the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe the second worst team in the NFL behind the New York Jets. The team has been making do without all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari, but how close is his return?
No, I think a lot of it's just going to be, you know, how he feels. And anytime you're dealing with the injury that he's dealing with, it's never comfortable. But again, it comes down to his ability to go out there and function and make sure that he's, you know, able to protect himself and not get any worse.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur at 6-2. Green Bay is in a virtual tie with Seattle and New Orleans for the best record in the NFC, despite the injury bug hitting. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
To be 6-2 right now with the injuries that we've had and the circumstances feels really good. We're not going to relax or get complacent, though. We've got a tough road ahead of us and some big dreams down the line. We've been more efficient on offense this year with a number of different personnel groups. I think we've been able to weather kind of the stretches without our best receiver, our left tackle, without Allen, with Jonesy missing some time, and Jamal obviously last week. We haven't maybe necessarily had a complete decimation of a position group, which has helped us.
Another area the Packers have excelled at this season is ball security. It often goes unnoticed, like the offensive lineman that never gets called for holding, or maybe the referee who never draws the ire of the populace for making bad calls.
That's a big time credit to the guys, just being mindful and knowing and owning that responsibility, because obviously that's something that affects the entire football team, all three phases. And, you know, our guys take pride in it and they've done a great job with it. And we know that that's something that you can never let get too far from your mind. As soon as you do, you slip up and next thing you know, you got a ball on the ground.
Back to carrying the rock this weekend after missing a couple of weeks before his return at San Francisco and part of the ball security squad is running back Aaron Jones. Glad to be back for the second week in a row.
The calf felt great. I mean, I was just happy to be back out there on the field and glad I was able to come out the game. No setbacks, feeling great as well. You know, you missed the little things about just football. I mean, it's different when you get to be out there and playing it with your brothers versus watching it and being there with them. So I really missed that part.
Of course, part of the resiliency of the Packers this season has been their depth. Jones saw it when he was out.
A lot of what we do is like that, you know, and that's the good thing about having so many weapons. And I said this since week one, we have all the weapons we need here. And when you do have weapons, and it allows you to do those things.
As anyone who lives in Wisconsin knows, our state is an epicenter for COVID cases, with Green Bay being one of the state's hot spots. With the exception, though, of Dexter Williams, the team has remained remarkably healthy. But what else has Matt LaFleur's team learned about playing through a pandemic?
You know, there's stuff that comes up all the time in terms of just like I look at the last week and a half that we've had to go through. You just got to be ready to adjust in a moment's notice. And everybody has to be prepared, whether you're a practice squad player or you're on the active 53, to go out there and play.
There obviously was talk about the protocols, about the amount of testing that we were going to do. And I think the PA and the owners agreed that keeping it every single day was important to making sure we had the right updates on the health of our players. So I think that's been good. I think, you know, it's been a change, but I think we've done as well as we can, I think, in Green Bay. We've had obviously a couple guys test positive, haven't had the, you know, the widespread stuff that so many people prognosticated about that we weren't going to get to this point. I think maybe some people even were hoping we wouldn't get to this point. But I think the NFL and PA, you know, talking about, you know, the protocols, I think have done a nice job of, you know, just setting the good guidelines on how we can try and get to the end of the season.
Finally, your fun statistic of the week. Aaron Rodgers has now won 119 of the 182 games he started at quarterback for the Packers. That's the same record after 182 games as Brett Favre.
We both appreciate and have appreciated the opportunity to lead this team. You know, there's nothing greater than doing that. There's no better feeling than being the guy for a team like this that does not have an owner, that has such an incredibly loyal and deep fan base nationwide, worldwide. I've talked about it for a lot of years, just how incredible the reach is of our team and our fans. There's a lot of pride in that.
It's a noon kickoff at Lambeau on Sunday. Fox will have the broadcast. Chris Myers will be with Greg Jennings and Brock Heward in the booth. Jen Hale reports from the sideline. Someone who's been on the sidelines and in the press box for decades covering the Packers is my guest here on the podcast, longtime Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren. Tim, always great to talk to you. I appreciate the time. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I don't know the answer. Who's the longest tenured sports guy in Milwaukee at the same place? Is it you at 6 or is it Needles over at 12?
Dan Needles a little bit ahead of me at Channel 12, but we've been fortunate to have some some real stability in the market. Lance Allen's been, of course, Channel 4 for a long time, even Kevin Holden at 58. But Dan predates me by just a smidge.
Okay, very good. Well, Tim Van Voren, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. The Packers are at the halfway point of the season, 6-2. A couple of other 6-2 teams in the NFC. One team they already beat, the Saints. The Seahawks, their defense doesn't look like it has in years past. At the halfway point of this season, Tim, how do you assess what the Packers have done so far?
To me, they've exceeded expectations. I know, obviously, this is such a goofy year anyway, but I thought there was going to be some of that regression to the norm. I was one of those people talking about that or expecting that coming into this year. So I give them credit, and I've been impressed by the effectiveness of their offenses. Starting in that first game at Minnesota, and I don't know if it was because there were no fans or just the angle we had on them. We hadn't seen them all preseason. My goodness, guys moving around, all this and that. I think the scheme, they've been able to enact what they wanted so far this season, and they've impressed me, no question about it. Now, they obviously haven't played that well every week. They're much better when they're playing from ahead. Their defense is still suspect. But like all the teams you mentioned in the NFC, they have a lot going for them, and they have some warts. I think that applies to all those top teams in the NFC.
What do you make of the fact that the Packers are the last team, the only team that has scored in their first possession of every game so far this season?
Doug, I think that Matt LaFleur is a very sharp offensive mind. I think he has some very good offensive coaches with him, and they work very well together. And I do think they have dialogue back and forth with Aaron Rodgers. So everybody's on the same page. And I think the Packers, and I've said this about Matt LaFleur in the past, I think they try to win Monday through Saturday. They try to scheme it up. They try to get those plays ready out of the box. They try to have a game plan ready to go. And we've seen very effective drives every single time out so far this season. Now, granted, you could fumble on that drive and there goes your streak, whatever it might be, or something happens and there goes your streak. But if you think back to watching the Packers this season, their most impressive drives to me generally are their first drive. They're right down the field. And that, I think that speaks to how well they prepare during the week. And that's not to say there's a slippage after that, but I think the defense adjusts and the game takes its own course at that point. So I think Matt LaFleur has really demonstrated the ability during to beat you during the week. And he's what? 19-5 in his career, Doug? So the sample size has gotten pretty large now.
If you look at the offensive output specifically from this Packers team, 43 points week one against Minnesota, followed by 42, then 37, then 30. They had a hiccup against Tampa Bay where they scored only 10, but then they bounced right back. And granted, it was the Texans, and Houston isn't very good, but still they put up 35 points against another NFL team, 22 against Minnesota, but then they bounced right back and put up 34 against San Francisco last week, Thursday night. I mean, this is a team that's consistently getting into the 30s and on a couple of occasions into the 40s on offense. You can look at it, I think, a couple of different ways. There's the offense has evolved as the second year of the Matt LaFleur era has come to fruition in Green Bay. You can look at it as defenses in the NFL were really put behind the eight ball because there was no mini camp, there was no OTAs, and they're playing catch up right now in the NFL. When you put all the factors into why there's so much more offensive output, maybe specifically from this Packers team, is there anything that you can put your finger on as to why it's been so dramatic?
Well, I think both of the things you chip in there, Doug, apply in this case. I think the Packers have had a leg up on the opposing defenses, and I go back to what we just mentioned a moment ago. I think I've been surprised how well they've been able to put things into place through the virtual offseason, but of course, they were building upon last year. I think these younger coaches, Doug, and they don't want to use blanket statements here, but these younger coaches on this staff, while there was some question when they were hired as such a young staff, I think because things have gone to this virtual world, you have some very effective communicators there who maybe are a little bit more effective than some other coaching staffs around the league. I don't know that that's anything anecdotal necessarily, but my suspicion is that does apply here. And I think from when I talk to people around the Packers program, they talk about how effective these coaches were starting in the offseason and continue to be. So I think that the Packers have done very well offensively. I think that they have had a leg up on other teams defensively. And, Doug, here's what else I would throw in there. I think they need to. I think their defense, this is called complementary football. The Packers are number one in the league in time of possession. They need to stay on the field with their offense and score points in order to win games.
Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Voren joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. A couple of weeks ago, the trading deadline passed. Brian Gutekunst didn't pull the trigger. There were reports that the Houston Texans wanted a second rounder for Will Fuller. Could have perhaps bolstered the Packers' wide receiving core. It's been pretty barren after Davante Adams, at least, with a consistent number two receiver. In your opinion, would the Packers have been better served both short-term and long-term by making that deal for the reported second rounder?
I'm fine with not taking that move for Will Fuller. Again, you just talked about how much they're scoring. When you watch the offense, do you say, oh, you know, maybe they could use a little bit more balance at the other receiver spot? Yes, but they're scoring well enough to win. They have Alan Lazard coming back. They're trying to develop some of these younger players into those complementary receiver roles. The tight end has been more effective this year than it has been in recent years in Green Bay. Robert Tonyan, obviously being first and foremost there, but I don't think you should give up on Jay Sternberger. I think he had a little early season hiccup, but has shown why he was drafted in the third round since that time. And so I think they have enough on offense to have not given up a second round draft choice as reported for Will Fuller. Could they have made moves on the roster? I think they could have, but I don't have an issue with them not doing so. The telltale deal is going to be, though, what do you do with the draft choices? And, of course, that is an easy way to evaluate a general manager. And if you don't make those draft choices count, then people will look at it askance.
There's a lot of great wide receivers in the NFL. Davante Adams has said that he feels like he's number one. He's got the confidence to put himself as the best wide receiver in the NFL. There's some great ones out there, though. DeAndre Hopkins is having a great season at Arizona. Stephon Diggs having a wonderful season in Buffalo. Keenan Allen's having a good season right now with the Chargers as well. I mean, can you definitively say who the best wide receiver is in football right now?
I don't know that you can, Doug. I certainly think all those guys you mentioned would be in the conversation for it, and you could make a case for each one of those and maybe one or two more. I would say this about Davante Adams, though. I have really struggled, or it's not my struggle. I have not seen other teams be able to defend him effectively man up. If you double him, you can take him out, and that's where the questions come in about what's on the other side for the Packers. But to single up Davante Adams is a mistake. That's where the struggle comes in. Opposing defenses have struggled trying to play him that way. Not to say you could necessarily put a best shadow corner on those other guys you mentioned, and you know, they wouldn't have big days as well. But to me, watching Adams, you have to do something beyond just put one guy on him because he's big enough, he's strong enough, he's so effective with the footwork and running his routes. He's not a burner, but he's fast enough. And obviously, we've seen when he has played this season, 5.5 games, Doug, he has 53 catches in 5.5 games. Teams do not know what to do with him.
They've certainly struggled so far this season with Davante Adams. On the flip side, the rush defense hasn't been very good this season for the Packers. In your opinion, are they tough enough to make a deep run in the playoffs with the state of their rush defense?
If you were just isolating one part of the Packers and you put rush defense up there, you know, you would not say that's a deep playoff team. It goes back to what I mentioned a moment ago. You have to play complementary football if you're the Packers, as far as I'm concerned. You have to get it so that it's not a running game. Even if you're going against a team that has a solid rushing attack, if you get ahead or if you're possessing the ball, that opposing team can't do what it wants on the ground, and that will enhance your chances. So, in and of itself, is that rush defense enough to make a deep run? I don't think so. In the grand scheme, it could be. It could be, but it needs to be better. There's no question about that. Everybody involved would agree with it. I know the players. Some of the players have said, really, quite honestly, we're getting penetration. We've had hits behind the line. We've had 9-10 guys in the right spot, and that's probably right. But as we get to midseason here, I know they've been shuffling guys in and out in those linebacker spots, but somebody needs to be stepping up in those respective spots and becoming a little bit more reliable. And perhaps that's where a veteran, Christian Kirksey, coming back would give you something that these young players, while promising, but they're wildly inexperienced, are not able to do play to play. So so maybe if we see a little more gelling and stability on the defense in general, you will not see these fissures opening up that allow guys like Dalvin Cook to blast right through.
Here's the thing that strikes me about this team, and I've been watching Packers football a long time. I know you've been watching Packers football and covering Packers football for a long, long time as well. But the one thing that strikes me is the depth on this team and how resilient they've been. One of the best running backs in the NFL, Aaron Jones, goes out. Jamal Williams picks up the slack. Jamal Williams goes out. Tyler Irvin is there to pick up some slack. The offensive line has some injury issues as well. David Bakhtiari, maybe the best left tackle in the NFL, he's out. Elgton Jenkins is shuffled in all over the offensive line. I don't ever remember a more resilient team with better depth at so many skill places on this team. That doesn't mean that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm just struck by that every time I watch this depleted roster get win after win.
I think that's a great observation, Doug, and I think, like you said, I've been around watching a long time. I know you have as well. We've been doing it professionally. We did it personally before we were doing it professionally. And if you think back to the Super Bowl 45 team, depth was one of the hallmarks of that team. They were a sixth seed. They kind of snuck into the playoffs, but because they had ample contributions from a lot of different places in that postseason run, they became a very, very good football team. It wasn't fluky. Each week they started to play better and better because everybody kind of knew a role and then was able to adjust to that role. They had a lot of injuries that year from key players, but they were able to put things together and make it at the end of the year when it counted. So I think this year the depth, and Matt LaFleur was saying this week, hey, these injuries have allowed for development, and sometimes that doesn't happen. You need to have a peace of mind with some of these other players who could come in and step in and play roles because they've been out there and they've shown you they can do it when the action is live. So I think that's a positive for this Packers team. I would agree with your assessment of the fact that they seem to have had it, and the depth has been demonstrated in areas where it's critical. You said it. Those are skill positions. Sometimes a team can get wiped out at a skill position. It doesn't matter what you have elsewhere. You can't score enough, and you can't win. You look at the Chicago Bears, for instance. They don't really have injuries, but they can't score enough to win. The Packers have enough balance that they can win football games because they can put points on the board.
Final thing for you, as we're joined by Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Voren here on the Doug Russell Podcast, covering this team in the era of COVID. Hopefully it's only one season. Hopefully it's only the 2020 season. But what's been the biggest difference and what's been the biggest challenge from your perspective?
Oh, that's a good question, Doug. And I don't really think it's too inside baseball, if you will, because I think your listeners and Packer fan consumers are kind of catching on to the fact that we get access to the players the team makes available. And I do think the Packers have been trying very hard to give you some balance and get guys out there, that sort of thing. But on Wednesdays, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and somebody else. And here we are halfway through the season, Doug, and you can guarantee that every midweek, every story has been either Aaron Rodgers or Davante Adams, because that's who you're given. So the struggle is on to find unique content. On Fox 6 this year, our thing is keeping up with the Joneses. We're fortunate enough to have Aaron Jones joining us, and we have the former Packer James Jones. And I'll tell you, what a great year for James Jones to join us, because he and I have been able to have actual conversations and back and forth, and he can give you some insights. It's hard to have back and forth phone conversations or Zoom conversations with these. Aaron Rodgers is given a question, and you've been around the scrum at his locker in the past, Doug. Somebody else will give a follow-up question because there's a give and take there. In the Zoom format, that doesn't happen. If you're trying to write a story on whatever it might be, Aaron Rodgers' cadence, when you are called on, you're going to ask about cadence no matter what the previous question was, because that's your shot. So it's a challenge, and it's very difficult to tell the side stories. It's very difficult to go around the locker room, develop some relationships with non-frontline players, and do something with those things. And that's just the way it is in 2020. As you said, Doug, I think we're all hoping as consumers and as reporters that this is a one-shot deal. But I will still say this, I'm happy that they're playing football, because once again, the Packers are relevant, and once again, people are paying attention.
Amen to that. 2020, by the way, can end any time, but if there is a silver lining for this crazy, awful, terrible year. It's that the Packers are giving us something at the end of the year to certainly smile about. Tim Van Voren, sports director, longtime sports director, longtime sports guy over at Fox 6, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Tim, my friend, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. We'll be watching.
Absolutely, Doug. It was great catching up with you, and hopefully we'll do it again. And, of course, the end of the season is at Tampa this year, so the Packers would like to atone for their previous trip.
That's right. The Super Bowl this year is in Tampa. And by the way, The Weeknd just named as the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl, which is coming up at Raymond James Stadium. There he goes. Tim Van Voren, as good of a broadcaster as he is a better dude. That is saying a lot. All right. We end today with a smile and a fair warning. So there's some profanity coming up in a couple of minutes. So if there are any little ears in the area, it might be a good time to duck out. Again, this is your fair warning. One of the great game show hosts of all time passed away last weekend, the legendary Alex Trebek. He'd been fighting cancer for a year and a half, pancreatic cancer, which is unfortunately right now, tragically, virtually a death sentence. But as a television personality, Alex had to record promos. We all do. And this has been going around the internet since his passing. And every single broadcaster I have shown this to has a nodding smirk because we have all flubbed lines and then hilarity ensues.
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch, you don't watch it 24 hours a day. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and fuck, no shit. Call now and play Phone Jeopardy. She drank the poison that Captain Hook intended for Peter Pan.
Tinkerbell!
Fuck him.
The great Alex Trebek. Yes, we've all been there. That's it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Here's how to get in touch with us. Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Doug Russell Pod. Facebook and YouTube, search for the Doug Russell Podcast, or you can email us at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.